Colossians chapter 3. There's an outline of the message for you in the book of the Word of God, Colossians chapter 3. You'll find that on page 1733. The sermon outline is for you in the bulletin there, worship music. We're taking a look at Reform worship, biblical worship, what it means. So what does it sound like and look like? And why do we worship the way we worship? Colossians 3. Beginning at verse 12, reading through verse 17, and we'll focus our attention on verse 16. And that was our memory verse for this week. Can we say that together? Let us say that together. Hopefully we memorize that, and or just follow along there with me. Colossians 3 at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in your heart, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Better job than I did. I got to read it. There's another memory verse in the bulletin for this next Sunday from John chapter 4, verse 24. So let's memorize that together as families. We've learned together that worship is taking place in heaven. We meet God together as his people. He lifts us up to worship him in heaven. Worship must be and may be by the book. And it's a dialogue between God and his people, a heart-to-heart conversation together. And now we want to look at worship music from Colossians chapter 3. If you're able, please stand with me at attention for the reading of the Word of God, and let's receive it with believing hearts. This is the inerrant Word of God. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You may be seated. So far, the reading of God's word. I encourage you to keep the Bible open and handy for the message on worship music. The congregation of Christ, there's a story told of an old farmer who went to the city and went to a big city church and came home and told his wife about the worship service, and she was asking about it. He said, well, it was a little different. They sang praise choruses there. And she's like, what's a praise chorus? Well, he said, a praise chorus is kind of like if I'd say Martha, and that's her name, the corn, the cows are in the corn. But a praise chorus would be like this: oh, Martha, Martha, the cows are in the corn, the brown cows, the black and white cows, the white cows, the corn, the many cows are in the corn. That would be kind of a praise chorus. It tends to be highly repetitive, not all of them, but some of them are very repetitive, and there's not a whole lot to them. Well, then there's a young farmer who went to the city and went to a church, and that was a church that was rather traditional. And he came home and told his wife about it, and the wife was like, well, what was it like? Well, he said they sang a lot of hymns there. And I said, well, what are hymns? We're used to singing praise choruses. And well, hymns are like this. If I would say to you, Martha, the cows are in the corn, a hymn is like this. A hymn is, oh, beloved Martha, the cows are hearkening. And the cows are hearkening because they are in the corn. The great corn veils and the amber waves of grain. That would be kind of like a hymn. And dear friends, whether it's a praise chorus or whether it's a hymn, we tend to say, well, it's familiar, I like it, and that's what I want to sing. But even hymns can simply be a matter of preference, and they use sometimes very old-fashioned language. And so, dear friends, when we pick out songs, when we are singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, where are we to go for good music? What is reform music? What is the proper worship songs that we should be singing? Once again, it's not just a matter of what I feel like or what is familiar to me. We need to take a look here at Colossians chapter 3 in the worship music that the Apostle Paul provides us as a standard. So I preach you the word of the Lord as it comes to us, sing thankful songs to God. Sing thankful songs to God, and we want to take a look at the fact that we are to sing praises to God, and then we are to sing proclaiming the gospel to one another. So it's praise to the Lord, even as we provide proclamation of the gospel to one another. First of all, praise to God. You see that in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So the praise goes to God. He's our audience. And we do that together as a community of faith, encouraging one another. But dear friends, we are to sing gospel songs. And that's what Paul means here in Colossians 3 at verse 16 when he's talking about the word of Christ. That's code for gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what we should be singing. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why are we to sing? Why can't we just say it? Why do we need to sing it? Why not just talk to one another? Well, dear friends, it's because our God is a singing God. That was our opening call to worship. God, according to Zephaniah chapter 3, is the God who sings over you. He sings loudly, and he shouts for joy over you to calm your heart. God the Father sings. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after he celebrated the Lord's Supper and went to the cross, he sang with his disciples a hymn. Jesus sings. And it's more plain and explicit in Ephesians chapter 4. But it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 that it's the Spirit of God singing. Be filled with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit leads you in song. So, dear friends, our triune God sings, and they sing a new song. They are singing the gospel. They sing to one another, and they sing over us. So that's why we sing. We just don't talk about theology. We sing the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we are to sing gospel songs that the Father gave the Christ to us in order to ransom us from our sins, that our Lord Jesus Christ came to, by his doing and dying, justify the wicked, and that the Lord Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to lead us into song and to sanctify us, make us holy, even while we are singing. Sing the word of Jesus Christ. Let that word dwell in you richly. Does this describe you? Does this describe me? Is it describing us? Is the word of Christ dwelling in you richly or superficially? Lightly or strongly? Is it dwelling in you weakly, anemically, or strongly? Let the word of Christ, that's what we should be singing. Whether praise chorus or hymn. Whatever the song is, it's the word of Jesus Christ up front and center. It must be richly dwelling in our hearts. So we want meat and potatoes in our singing. We don't want to just be, singing popcorn songs. You can't live on popcorn. You know, if you have popcorn for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you can't live on popcorn. You need some meat and potatoes. And that's why we need to be singing as Christians. We are here to make Christians. We are not here to make consumers. We are here to make disciples. And Jesus Christ uses the proclamation of his word and the praises of Jesus Christ to make Christians. Sing gospel songs, but then sing a variety of praise music. You see that in Colossians 3 at verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And here it is, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing a variety, lots of praise music. Sing the psalms. And this is the songbook inspired by the Spirit of Jesus in the Old Testament scriptures. We're working our way through the book of Psalms. And dear friends, our songs in our services should always be patterned after the Psalms of the Old Testament scriptures. And as the Psalms praise God with joy, and as the Psalms mourned with lament, we have in the Psalms, in the words of John Calvin, an anatomy of the human soul. It captures for us all of the love language of our hearts, and it captures all of the moods and emotions we feel and experience as God's chosen people. Sing the Psalms. And dear friends, a quote from Carl Truman, Dr. Carl Truman, he wrote an article saying, "What can a miserable Christian sing these days? If everything's about hippie, happy, clappy, feelings. If you come to church depressed, I do sometimes. Let's be real. Yes, there are joys in our lives that we celebrate, but oftentimes your life and my life is a wreck and we're downright depressed. Sing the Psalms. Sing the laments. Because when you are singing the psalm of Jesus, the song of lament, for instance, my God, why have you forsaken me? You are experiencing the presence of Jesus himself, the man of sorrows, who promises a time is coming when there will be no more tears. Sing the psalms. Sing hymns. And I believe the Apostle Paul means by that hymns, meaning the New Testament songs. For instance, the songs that were sung when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born. Glory to God in the highest. The song of Mary, who sang about the Savior's birth, her son, our Savior's birth. The song of Simeon. The songs that are sung by the church triumphant in the book of Revelation as they sing a new song. The psalmist says in Psalm 98, and the songs of the church triumphant and all of creation, all the creatures, the angels, and the church of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, they sing a new song. What does that mean? It means that God's people, whenever there was a new event of redemption, whether it was the Old Testament exodus out of Egypt, God saved his people in his love and forgave their sins, whether that was when our Lord Jesus Christ was born, when he died, when he rose from the dead, when he ascended into heaven, when he poured out his Spirit, his return, those are the new songs. And they are to be sung from a new heart to praise our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe in Colossians chapter 1, you're there with me. I hope you got your Bibles open, but Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, I believe the Apostle Paul is structuring this. He's writing, it's almost like a poem of praise he's writing here. With commentators that are a lot smarter than I am, they pick up on this. It's lyrical. It's music here that he's writing. Colossians 1 at verse 12. Here's a hymn. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, he, that is Christ, word of Christ, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And it goes on into verse 16. There is a hymn. Sing psalms, sings hymns. And then we read together in Colossians chapter 3, at verse 16, sing spiritual songs, songs of personal testimony, filled by the Spirit, directed in praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sing a variety of praise music. And it says there, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And the language there of psalm and singing, it's the same word the Apostle Paul is using, but it's literally not just saying, but singing, using your voice, but also an instrument. It says that right in the text, and it comes right out of the Old Testament scriptures. It means literally to pluck a harp. To pluck a harp as you lift your voice in praise to God. And God is the audience and the voice of our praise. God is the audience and the voice of our praise. You sing with all your hearts to God, and it comes out a little bit more in Ephesians chapter 5 at verse 18. If you turn with me to in your Bibles to Ephesians 5:18, as I was referring to that earlier, page 1712, there's a parallel passage here as Paul writes almost the same thing, but there's a little nuance here to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 5, at verse 18. And he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And you see, dear friends, that God is the audience we praise. But God is also the voice of our praise. Have you ever thought about this before? This really struck me this week. What is going on when we sing? You are God's instrument. Psalm 22, verse 3 says that God inhabits, he lives in your praise and mine. And God the Father says, I want to glorify my Son, and I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit because I love you. And you're my instrument and my voice to magnify my Son, and for you to sense the comfort of the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, I don't care what you did or what I did this past week or what we're going to do this next week. It doesn't get any better than that. There's nothing more exciting for us to sense or experience or participate in as we are filled with the God, the Holy Spirit, singing praises to Jesus. God the Father promises to live among us for his glory and our great joy. Sing, sing thankfully to God and praising his name, but also in proclamation of God's praises to one another. You see the proclamation there. And it's a startling statement that the Apostle Paul makes here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you see the parallels, teaching, admonishing, singing. How do you teach and admonish one another? You sing to one another. You're singing to God. He's the audience. But you're singing to one another. And the word that the Apostle Paul uses there is to counsel other Christians. You're counseling one another, and it's the word noutheo. We get our word nouthetic or counseling from that. And my brothers and sisters, there's certainly a role for counseling from sermons. There's certainly a role for us in the life of the a Christian to receive counseling from those who are skilled in Christian counseling. But my brothers and sisters, please take note of the fact that you come to church and sing to be counseled. You come to counsel others, to counsel one another with the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:15, page 1663 in the Bible. Please turn with me there to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, at verse 15. There Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he's describing orderly worship. And 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul's talking about prayer, and then he says, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind also. Praise is praying twice. Praise is praying twice. But the Apostle Paul is saying our song should be intelligent, reasonable, and understandable. There must be understanding. So there's this beautiful combination between mind and emotion, our intellectual capacity, but also our capacity to feel as human beings. Sing with understanding. It should be intelligent, intelligible songs. And that's why the apostle, why does Paul say that? He's saying that because he wants unbelievers, if you're there in 1 Corinthians 14 at verse 25, he wants unbelievers to do this. The secrets of the heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Counsel other Christians with your singing. Every voice matters. Your voice and my voice, whether it's monotone or not, whether you can carry a tune or not, every single voice matters because you're encouraging, you're admonishing, you're warning. Life isn't about getting wealth, ultimately. Life isn't about approval and popularity. You're admonishing one another, and we're also counseling one another with the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that's what we were doing in the song of confession earlier in the service, right? Because we all come here with sin, and this is a hospital of sinners with room for more. And as a hospital of sinners, as great sinners, we need a great Savior in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because like you, I am a sinner, and we've read Facebook more than we've read our Bible this past week. We need a Savior to forgive us of our sins. We should have opened our mouth and declared the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we kept them shut. We didn't want to evangelize and witness to somebody else. We click on something we shouldn't be clicking on. We've seen pornography, and we come here as filthy sinners, and we sing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in praise of his forgiveness for sinners. That if we don't hide our sins from God, he says, I will hide them from my sight. I'll wash you clean in the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. That's how you counsel one another as we feel defeated in the battle against sin. Sing by counseling one another. And counsel one another in the words of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It wasn't exactly their best life now. In one sense, it was their worst life now. Paul and Silas are imprisoned for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what do? Pout? No, they sing. They sing to the Lord. They sing to one another, and they're singing the praises of God. And that's what we need to be doing in one another's lives, in worship. Our worship music is full of the word of Jesus Christ. that the new song we sing to him cannot be stopped. No matter what hell or hardship is trying to do in our lives, the disappointments and the setbacks we face, counsel one another in song with a word of Christ. And that word of Christ means, too, that praise songs must be Catholic. We learned about this in high school catechism class. Our song should be Catholic, small c, not big C Catholic, small c, universal. The Church of our Lord Jesus Christ should be showing her age when she sings. Show your age as you sing the praises of the triune God. I remember talking to a pastor, you know him, but he said, you know what my seminary professor told me when we were in seminary class talking about worship, you know, the devil was kicked out of heaven. And sometimes it seems like when the devil was kicked out of heaven, he landed in the choir loft. He landed in the choir loft. The devil loves dividing the Church of Jesus Christ with worship wars. He loves it. So you have the, okay, the young people want to sing this over here. Then you have the getting older people want to sing this song. Right? I like singing the 60s style, or I like singing the new, the now, the hip and the hot, or whatever it is. And we need to be singing according to our gender or our race or our age. And my dear friends, the devil is dividing the Church of Jesus Christ up that way. Sing the word of Christ. It's uniting. It unites young and old. Psalm 148, let aged men and children small sing the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what unites us together. It bonds us. There's relational bonding that goes together as we sing these kinds of songs with this kind of content. It must be multi-generational. And that let worship music carry us to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it carry us to Christ. So the tunes and the songs must be singable. There's a lot of songs in church. Well, some songs, let me put it that way. Some songs in church you can't sing because they're meant for professional musicians and professional singers. So we need to be singing singable songs to singable tunes. So no one's left behind. Our worship, we shouldn't just be carried along by this wonderful popular tune. I'm all for accessible tunes, dear friends, set to this kind of music. But not just to be feeling what we want to feel. We're not here to worship our experiences. We're here to worship Jesus Christ. So let the tunes and the songs be wedded together in a way that carry us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, what if you said to your mom and dad, I hug you. I hug you. And then you walk by your mom and dad and you never hug them. Did you really mean it? Boys and girls, if you say, I hug you, mom, dad, then you got to put your arms around mom and dad. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And the Apostle Paul says, sing. But watch out. You might be moving your mouth, but you may not be singing from the heart. Sing spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That's what God wants from us. Not just simply sounds. He wants our hearts. And that's what lovers do. I've been to a wedding reception when a spouse sang to the spouse. Dear friends, you are the bride of Christ, and Jesus is your bridegroom. And that's what lovers do. Lovers sing their love to one another. Are you singing from the heart? Am I, as we move our mouths? Well, what are some of the applications specifically? It means sing to remember God's word. Sing to remember the word of the Lord. That's how we learn our ABCs. That's how I learned the ABCs of the Hebrew alphabet. Dave, can I get an amen from that? Maybe you, that's how I learned the same song, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's what got me through trying to learn the Hebrew alphabet. God knows this about us, right? He's made us in his image. He knows that when you set, you know, it's one thing to memorize the word of God or, from scripture. It's another thing. He knows that when you use a songbook, the song sticks. It sticks in your memory. I was visiting a guy that who's 89 years old recently, and he said, I can't make it to church anymore, but I'm singing Psalm 23 to myself. Memorize the word of God, and it sticks in the soul and in the mind when you actually sing the word of God. That's how the word of Christ is dwelling richly in us. So, dear friends, how do you do that practically? Practically, the Trinity Psalter Hymnal is a songbook that was recently put out together by the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and the United Reformed Churches. The Trinity Psalter Hymnal seeks to capture this. But in the introduction of that songbook, it gives a lot of great practical lessons on how to sing God's praises and proclaiming the gospel to one another. How do you do that? It means when you're standing, stand tall, and it sounds better. Your voice will project. You're sitting down for the song of confession, sit tall. Okay? Try to sit tall. So sit tall and stand tall because God is worthy of the very best of our voices. Don't forget to take your instrument to church. You all have an instrument. It's called your voice. Use the instrument of your voice to lift up God in front of others and glorify him together in song. Use your voice. Don't mumble. Make your vowels tall and your consonants. I know I didn't get English class like I should have. I had to learn English when I got to college and seminary. I get it. We're not all English majors, but language means something. Open our voice, your mouth, when it comes to the vowels and the consonants, so that your praises are reverberating and projected. And then do this. I know I don't always do this. I try to do it more this morning. Try not to do this. I know you want to share with the kids. I get it. That's okay. You know, show the kids where we are in the song, but try to do this too. Try to keep the songbook up. Okay? So the praises go up and out. Remember, this is for God. And you are teaching one another and counseling one another. Let your brothers and sisters hear your voice. The voice of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I send out the songs on Saturday. Get a songbook, get a Psalter hymnal, get a Green Celebration hymnal. Find the songs online. Get familiar with the songs on Saturday at the very least. Sing to yourself. Do you do that, dear friends, for your devotions? I didn't always do that, but I do that for my devotions. Sing, this is your devotional book. I want to buy a new devotional. Buy the Psalter hymnal. Buy a great songbook. It will grow your devotion to Christ. Take a deep breath before you begin singing. There's practical applications and guidelines in the Trinity Psalter hymnal for musicians. Try not to play too slow. Try not to play too fast. Boys and girls, learn an instrument. Moms and dads, are you encouraging your children? Encourage them to learn an instrument. To learn piano. To learn the organ. To learn appropriate instruments so that Jesus Christ may be magnified. Sing to remember the Word of God. And then teach and be taught. Teach and be taught the Word of the Lord. Where's the praise team here? It's you. I'm looking at it. That's the Hudson Valley United Reformed Church praise team. It's every single one of us. You are the worship team. And yes, we do have the choir. Yes, we have soloists. But more often than not, primarily, it's all God's people together singing and blending, uniting their voices. And thinking about how to end this, I want to end it this way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat is and the God's people back then. Look it up. Read this, please, sometime this week. They're in front of a huge army. They're going to be goners. King Jehoshaphat says, I don't know what to do, but Lord, my eyes are on you. And then God says this. He says, don't fight. What? Don't fight. He says, sing. That's how you are going to win. You're going to win by worship. And dear friends, worship is spiritual warfare. We are battling against, we're battling against principalities and powers, spiritual dark powers in our day and age. One illustration, President Biden and the Biden administration wants to say to Christian doctors, they want to make it law, if you're a Christian doctor, if you are a Christian hospital, you must do a gender reassignment surgery. You must. There is no such thing as a gender reassignment surgery. That's like saying, I want to make a bull into a cow. It doesn't exist. We are in spiritual warfare, dear friends. And how do we win? How will we be taught and teach our children to be soldiers of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, preach the gospel, but sing. Sing God's praises. Sing so that the word of Christ, our triumphant Savior, will be remembered. Now, and in the coming generation, what do you sing? Praise choruses? Hymns? Sing psalms. Sing hymns, sing spiritual songs to the Lord, and you will experience the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.